Harper Audio presents The Doll, The Lost Short Stories by Daphne du Maurier. Performed by Wanda McCadden. East Wind. Nearly 100 miles west of the Scillies, far from the main track of ships, lies the small rocky island of St. Hilda's. Only a few miles square, it is a barren, rugged place with great jagged cliffs that run steep into deep water. The harbour is hardly more than a creek, and the entrance like a black hole cut out of the rock. The island rises out of the sea, a queer, misshapen crag, splendid in its desolation, with a grey face lifted to the four winds. It might have been thrown up from the depths of the Atlantic in a moment of great unrest and set there, a small, defiant piece of land to withstand forever the anger of the sea. Over a century ago, few knew of its existence, and the many sailors who saw its black outline on the horizon imagined it to be little more than a solitary rock, standing like a sentinel in mid-ocean. The population of St. Hilda's has never exceeded 70, and the people are descendants of the original settlers from the Scillies and Western Ireland. Their only means of livelihood used to be the catching of fish and the cultivation of the soil. Today things are greatly changed owing to the monthly call of a coastal steamer and the installation of wireless. But in the middle half of the last century, years would sometimes pass without communication with the mainland, and the people had degenerated into quiet, listless folk, the inevitable result of intermarriage. There were no books then, no papers, and even the small chapel that had been built by the original settlers had fallen into disuse. Year in, year out, the life remained unchanged, with never a new face or a fresh thought to break the monotony of the days. Sometimes, on the horizon, the faint glimmer of a sail would be seen, and the people would gaze with wonder in their eyes. But slowly the sail would become a far-off speck, and the unknown ship pass into oblivion. They were peaceable folk, these natives of St. Hilda's, born to a quiet, untroubled existence as monotonous as the waves that broke against their shores. They knew nothing of the world beyond the island. They saw no more momentous happenings than birth and death and the changes of the seasons. Their lives were untouched by great emotions, by great sorrows. Their desires had never been lit, but lay imprisoned within their souls. They lived blindly, happily, like children, content to grope in the dark and never to search for the something that lay beyond their darkness. Some inner sense warned them that in their ignorance dwelt security, a happiness that was never wild, never triumphant, but peaceful and silent. They walked with their eyes to the ground. They had become weary of looking upon a sea where no ship came, of lifting their faces to a sky that seldom changed. Summer and winter passed, children grew into men and women. There was no more in life than these things. Far away lay the other lands, dwelt in by strange people, where the life was said to be hard and men had to fight for their existence. Sometimes an islander would sail away, shaping his course for the mainland and promising to return with news of the rest of the world. Perhaps he was drowned or picked up by some passing ship. No one could say, for he never came back. No one who left the island returned. Even the few ships that so rarely visited St. Hilda's came once only, and passed not again. It was almost as if there were no such place, as if the island were a dream, a phantom creation of a sailor's brain, something rising out of the sea at midnight as a challenge to reality, then vanishing in surf and mist to be forgotten, to be half-consciously remembered years later, flickering for a bewildered second in a dusty brain as a dead thought. Yet to the people of St. Hilda's the island was reality. The ships that came and went were their phantoms. There was only the island. Beyond it lay the ghostly, the intangible. The truth was in the seared rock, in the touch of the soil, in the sound of the waves breaking against the cliffs. This was the belief of the humble fisher folk. And they cast their nets during the day and gossiped over the harbour wall at evening, with never a thought of the lands across the sea. At dawn the men set off to fish, and when their nets were filled they would return to the island and climb the steep path that led to the fields to work with stolid patience at the soil. The group of cottages was clustered together at the water's edge, with seldom more than 2 rooms to contain an entire family.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?